The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball with a post-World Series show. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one, as always, Jeremy Schilling at JTSchill20 and Doug Aitchison at DAitchison23. As I said, the Dodgers won the World Series back-to-back for the first time since the We're going to buy the World Series New York Yankees from 98 through 2000. It's the first time it's happened. I think it's the single hardest event to repeat, winning the World Series back-to-back years. But Jeremy, I mean, you and I called it from day one. Doug, we're just going to say you would have said LA as well, and that's going to make Jason and Terry look a little silly.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Jeremy also picked what is probably going to end up being the NL Cy Young and Paul Skeens, and I picked the NL MVP and Shohei Ohtani. I think as long as Shohei Ohtani's in there, it's going to be really, really hard for him not to get it. There's just no one else that does what he can do. He can absolutely transform a game on his own. When it's a 25-man or 26-man team, he has the ability to do it all by himself. So, key takeaways. Jeremy, lead us off.
Yeah, I mean, my key takeaway in watching – first of all, fun World Series, very entertaining. This had so many different storylines. The 18-inning game where Freeman hits the bomb to win it, the Dodgers coming back, making the play last night. And there were so many moments in yesterday's game that it played such a key role. We could obviously talk about the home runs, but the Dodgers throwing the winning run not the winning run. What would have been the winning run out at home with one out in the ninth. Just incredibly action-packed. Both teams rose to the moment. It's just the Dodgers made one more play, it felt like. But it was such a well-played World Series to tie in our Boston Red Sox. We're not ready for that. I mean, the attention to detail, the plays that were made, the big moments, it seemed like no one player shied away from being a hero, all the way to the play in left in the ninth where the center fielder essentially runs over Kike Hernandez. He was that dead set on making sure that ball didn't fall. And I know that's not technically how you want to handle that. Kike's got to just kind of call him off and catch it without an incident, but goes to show you the mindset of the center fielder. He's like, this thing ain't happening here. So he runs over his own teammate and makes a key play. You know, the other side of it is what, you know, where do you guys fall on, you know, the Dodgers quote ruining baseball versus, you know, just doing what's within the rules to create a roster that can be as flexible as possible, which, as I've said many times over the course of the season, has been one of the Red Sox biggest issues. The Dodgers had an answer for everything. They had a player ready to go for every moment, whether it was starting pitching, bullpen, base running. You know, you can say what they want about spending the money, but they built a roster to win across 162 and to win a series like they just beat a very good Toronto team. So my initial takeaway would be that.
Dougie.
My first takeaways would be it felt like everyone was talking about baseball. And it felt like the world was really watching that World Series and was really watching that game last night. I mean, Twitter was on fire with athletes across the world. I mean, across all sports, you know, commenting on it. And I think it was just really great to see that, you know, the last few World Series haven't really maybe had the buzz, even though last year was the two marquee teams in the league. It ended quick. There was no really moments. This gave you everything. It gave you the best player maybe of all time in Shohei Ohtani, doing crazy things that no one's ever seen before. It gave you key home runs in big spots. It gave you underdogs fighting back, and it just gave you everything. Moments is really what makes a great series, you know, not just close games. You really need to have memorable moments that you can think back on a few years from now and say, you know, that happened in that series and that happened, and the ball got stuck under the wall and the guy ran over Kike and they were, you know, the slide was a foot away from, you know, scoring a run. The Toronto was two outs away. It just had so many moments to look back on. Maybe the best World Series that I can remember watching. You know, I mean, me and Terry were talking about 2015 with the Cubs, and Cleveland was really good. You know, that went extra innings into a game 7-2, but just one of the best series I've ever seen. And it was just great to see the sports world really just focused on baseball.
Yeah, I think this is probably a bigger World Series than, I mean, obviously you have 04, the Boston Red Sox made history after not having won it in 86 years and whatnot, but they swept, you know, they absolutely demolished.
Yeah.
St. Louis. And so,
and the game 7 in the ALCS that year was bigger than the World Series.
That really was. I mean, that was the World Series. No, I mean, yeah, it's like, great, we got there, and sure, I think the Red Sox are going to do well, but I mean, you beat the Yankees. This is the team that always bought it.
That was like the biggest game of all time, that game 7.
That's the biggest game of all time for sure. Yeah. But this World Series is going to be bigger. This is actually like the first time since 1993. So it's been 32 years since it's actually been a real World Series. More than one country has been in the World Series. There's only one team in Canada and they were there. And nobody had Toronto going to the playoffs this year. I'm pretty sure not one of the Bastards had Toronto in there. Jeremy and I have already gone over why, people that are, you know, you're welcome to your opinion. You're wrong, but you're welcome to your opinion if you think that the Dodgers are bad for baseball. They're still able to, you know, showcase that the money that they're spending is still going towards your team. So if you have the wrong opinion, you're still welcome to it. We're not going to blame you. You're just wrong. That's it. The Dodgers spend a majority of the money that they bring in to pay for that team. They have an incredibly large stadium. Another thing that I went really hard on is if you are building an expansion team or you're relocating and you build a stadium that's meant for like croquet or like a concert, like forget it. You don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand business. You've probably never done a SWOT analysis. I'm going to absolutely torch you from a business background because you just don't get it. You're going to have transient fans in Las Vegas if you're going to be, you know, expecting Las Vegas to be a superstar place to bring in talent. It's just not going to happen. Your 8,000 park stadium or seat stadium is really not going to go anywhere. I can keep going, but you're wrong. And that's okay. Why was this World Series so important, right? You have the best player in Major League Baseball history. Shohei Ohtani in the World Series is better for baseball. Why? Why wouldn't you want to see the best player in baseball play? He can pitch. He can hit. He can literally do it all. And for those that are saying, well, he doesn't play right field anymore, find me another guy that can hit 3 home runs and strike out 10 guys over 6 innings. Ever. I mean, video game characters can't even recreate that. No player has ever reached base 9 times. I get it. 4 times intentionally walked. I don't want to hear it. Right? Still up there, you'd rather not pitch to him. And you would have won that game if you didn't pitch to him 9 times. But you guys actually had stones, and you decided to pitch to him a couple times, and he punished you 4 times. 2 doubles, 2 home runs. Toronto, Terry talked about this months ago. Toronto is a very, very exciting team. Why? They didn't buy every single bit of talent. Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are both homegrown. They were showing the pictures of what those two look like in 2017, 2018, 2020, 2023. They've been there through all the suck. They made some acquisitions. They brought in Bieber. And everyone was like, oh, geez. Well, I mean, we haven't seen him pitch. You know, it's been a really long time. And it sucks that he's the one that gave up that last inning home run. Toronto made this game and this entire series very, very fun. This is a team that probably against the Dodgers on paper really probably should have lost this in 5, maybe 6. And they said, hold my beer in game 1. J. Jeremy was talking about the play where Andy Páez bumps into Kike Hernandez for Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement is in his second real year of Major League Baseball. He set the record for most hits in a postseason. Not Derek Jeter, not Jose Altuve, not George Springer, not David Ortiz, not Manny Ramirez, not any of those big names. Alex Rodriguez, no. Ernie Clement, people will remember the name. John Lukes is a 31-year-old rookie. On paper, had just over 90 at-bats, if I'm not mistaken, or 100 at-bats. First year, was going to retire before this year started, and is playing the most meaningful games of his career. And then Addison Barger, who a couple years ago, nobody knew who that guy was. This entire team has been built up, and it's also taking advantage of players that other teams may have not wanted or just discounted, and that was it. Max Scherzer's 41 years old starting. He's the oldest World Series game starter. You can't possibly say that some of these guys are not exciting. Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw starting a game against one another would have been the most epic Game 7 if it wasn't the most important game of all time. For those that haven't seen it, Max Scherzer made his debut against Clayton Kershaw when he had two or three career wins. When Randy Johnson was pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks and Greg Maddux was pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers, both of them were scratched for the rookies, and everyone was bummed that they didn't see those two guys who had over 600 or 700 wins, 6,000 strikeouts, arguably two of the best pitchers of all time. You could put them on the Mount Rushmore of baseball. They're going to be there. And instead, you saw two guys that are finishing their careers at the highest level, at the World Series. Clayton Kershaw, three-time World Series winner. Max Scherzer has won it once. It would have been awesome to see him do it in Toronto. It would have been awesome for the fans of Toronto. But here's the thing, man. Toronto, they're going to be a team and a force to be reckoned with for a very long time. Los Angeles will continue doing what Los Angeles does. They will fill holes, plug gaps, and they're going to be an absolute force. The big turning point in this entire series, though, was that at one point they were sharing a graphic. The Los Angeles Dodgers had 8 home runs through the third inning of Game 7. 7 of those home runs were solo home runs. They could not hit home runs with people on base. The Toronto Blue Jays had 2-run homers, 3-run homers, 1 grand slam, 1, maybe 2 solo home runs. And after that graphic, Max Muncy had a solo home run, Will Smith had a solo home run, and Miguel Rojas had a solo home run. So 10 of the 11 home runs for the Dodgers were all solo home runs, and they were still able to win it. That's just sheer force. This is also one of the few teams in Major League Baseball that cares about their team. They built a team that cares about winning. They built a winning culture. They get it. Other teams need to literally look deep inside and realize that that is how you build a World Series team. It's not just necessarily buying the talent. You're also buying winning culture. You have players that get along well together. You have players that enjoy playing well together. You have just a happy team. It's just players that absolutely get it. Talk too much. Anything else that you just want to add?
I'm hopeful that the way that the end of the season occurred, and what I mean by that is two of the top three teams that spend the highest percent of their revenue resonates with this ownership group and this management group. Because to get back to playing in World Series, there's some things that need to happen on the field. We need to be better at routine plays, you know, and I'm not going to get into every little bit of it, but for us to get all the way there with a balanced, flexible roster, you have to have big time players that are just frankly going to either cost assets or probably both assets and money. The Red Sox, I think, were 24th in spending the percentage of their revenue. That number needs to be significantly different if you expect the team to go and look like what Toronto and the Dodgers just looked like, which were either team deserved to win. And the type of play it's going to take to go and be a World Series champion again. This was from my perspective, because I watch everything with a local eye, like how does this affect my team? It was staggering how watching the Red Sox all season never looked like that. Maybe for that stretch in July, but just look how we were eliminated. Connelly Earley's pitching well, giving us every chance to win. And it's our best defensive player. Rafaela takes a like an arc instead of a line to a fly ball that drops and the thing goes off the rails. You know, I just, people can't be playing out of position because you don't want to go get the guy to fill the spot. So instead of going to get the guy to fill the spot, you have a, you know, a second baseman starting, Campbell starting the season at second base. He's not ready to be a second baseman. You have large periods of time where you don't have a first baseman and you're moving people around and it's a bleep show. And while it was great that the Sox made the run they made and got in, you know, if you want to ascend to the next step and look like what that just looked like, management and ownership's got to go get players and they got to fill out the roster. Going from the time period in which the Sox got eliminated to the end of the season, I've been staggered about how far we actually are away from being a true contender.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right about everything you're saying, but I think a takeaway too is where if you look at like where the Blue Jays probably felt like they were, that you're never that far away in baseball, really. And I think that, you know, all it really takes is a few moves for a team that, you know, we weren't a bad team this year. We were still in the mix for the playoffs. And if you just make a few moves that can solidify certain positions, certain spots, you're in the mix and you can be right there. And once you're in the mix, I think they prove that, you know, anything can happen.
Well, I think to add to your point is this is one of the few sports. I mean, you play 162 games. It's not 100 games or 50 games or 60 games or 16, 17 games, right? This is a pay-to-play sport. If you don't put in the money to the product, you're not going to go far. You just lost Rafael Devers. You traded him away. You didn't replace him. You lost Alex Bregman. He's not coming back to Boston. I'd be shocked if he comes back to Boston for the amount of money that he wants to get. Red Sox aren't going to do that. So now you got to replace him. You never really replace the power batter of O'Neill. So that's another one. And then you were, you know, going for the bargain price pitcher, and that's kind of what you're hoping to get. Okay, cool. We got Garrett Crochet. We're going to be fine. Well, you just watched one of the teams in the World Series with four aces pitch. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell. That's your 1-2-3. Roky Sasaki is probably going to end up becoming another like phenom pitcher. He's so freaking good. They weren't worried about him. They made him their closer for the majority of the playoffs. I mean, there's no way you'd be able to say, listen, Tanner, or listen, Bayo, Brian, you know, we need to make you the closer right now. We feel really good with our rotation. We're going to make you the closer because we are set 1-2-3 for this playoff. We're good. You can't do that in Boston. You can't do that in baseball now. Toronto showed you how close they could get. And, I mean, they came within four strikes from winning the game before Miguel Rojas hit his, I believe, his second home run is what he said in the post game against a righty all year. All year. Like, it was nuts. But it also goes to show you, like, as far as managers are concerned, I think Dave Roberts, in my opinion, has the easiest managing job. You're not managing players. You're managing personalities, chemistry, and all that. He opted to take out his center fielder in game, I think it was 5 or 6, because he wasn't hitting. He was like two for the postseason, like 2 for 40, 2 for 41. It was just terrible. But Andy Pyles in center field colliding with Kiki Hernandez to make that catch saved the game in game 7. Deciding to have Miguel Rojas, who is a bench player, role player, start the most important games of the season in your postseason, in your World Series, and hitting the most clutch home run of his career. That's brilliance by Dave Roberts. Brilliance. We're not going to be able to do that because we don't have the options to say, you know what? Yeah, let's put in X person or Y person because they're better than a starter. We're not there yet. Miguel Rojas would probably start, maybe not necessarily start in Boston, but he'd play a decent amount of games if he was a Boston Red Sox. Kike Hernandez would also start. And he's being thrown all the way around the field. He could play third, could play second, could play first, would probably catch. He's an emergency pitcher and has that goofy headpiece when he's pitching and can play in the outfield. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches, that team. And if they go out and get Kyle Tucker, great. Awesome. They're going to defer more money. They'll figure it out. And they're probably going to three-peat for the first time since the New York Yankees did it. Red Sox aren't spending that kind of money.
You can't blame them.
No, you can't. And here's the thing. I think the front office is saying, oh, well, the Dodgers got this person and they got this person. And there's not really an incentive to try to be excellent this year or superb this year, because we're not going to win the World Series. Jeremy and I, 40% of the podcast, or half the podcast, whatever, however you want to look at it, said the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. You've spent $300 million in your product. Now, on the flip side, the Mets tried doing the same thing and they didn't get there. But the Mets did not have a Shohei Ohtani type talent. Didn't even mention him in your starting rotation with Glasnow, with Snell, who did not do great in the World Series. Stellar throughout the postseason, sucked in the World Series. Yamamoto did not put a foot wrong. Guy went eight innings or seven innings yesterday.
Incredible.
And then pitched three more innings the next day. I mean, it's just... it was an absolute masterclass of how to just make your opponent look silly. They didn't even go to relievers in game seven. They just went straight starters. They didn't care. And here's the best part. Class act move by the Toronto Blue Jays. The Dodgers had two players on their team, actually three, that really didn't do anything. Clayton Kershaw, one third of an inning pitched in seven games. That's it. I don't believe he pitched in two games. Michael Conforto, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was on that World Series roster. He didn't play. And then the third was Alex Vesia. Alex Vesia was a reliever in the bullpen for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who is dealing with a deep personal matter, did not play during the entire World Series. They left the door open for him to return. He did not come back. So one thing that the Toronto Blue Jays did, I believe it was starting game six, was they wore the 51 on the side of the hat, kind of in, you know, solidarity or standing alongside a fellow reliever. I thought that was a class act. Toronto had every reason to be there, right? I have no reason to boo Toronto. I have no reason to boo LA. People are going to have a reason to boo Boston if they don't go out and get one pitcher, two pitchers, one bat, at least one power hitter, and at least one starting member of the rotation, and at least one reliever. Why? Because you're watching other teams absolutely stockpile talent, and they're going for it. Padres, Phillies, Dodgers. Tigers better go after someone. If they end up trading Skubal, I will boo Detroit for the rest of time, because that is a generational talent.
Yeah, I try not to be a hypocrite. So, like, I can't really hate on the Dodgers if that's what I want my team to do too. You know?
I want to win.
Right.
I want to win. I want to go to the postseason. I want to win. I don't want to get... you know, slapped around like a child by a guy who all of a sudden says F Boston, who is from not too far from where you are, Dougie, yeah. Right? Yeah. And who knows, he could absolutely get his clock clean next year. But I mean, whatever. I still want us to go out there, go buy people, go buy talent, because it's a pay to play sport. You don't pay to play. Definitely. You don't get to go to the postseason. That's it. That's it. Do you think the Miami Marlins are going to go there? Does anybody think that the Oakland Athletics or the Athletics are going to go there? Absolutely not. Pittsburgh, no chance. Cincinnati, Cinderella story. I'm shocked that they went there. But facts are facts, right? They got destroyed in two games. Miami in the postseason, Pittsburgh in the postseason, clown question, bro. They're not going to go there. They're not going to go. And Boston came close. And if this is an indictment of, oh, we don't have to spend any more money because we got there, shame on you, front office. Shame on you for making fans sit through another 162 games because you don't have the stones to invest in your should-be most important product.
Yeah, I don't think there's any Dodgers fans that feel like this World Series doesn't feel as good because they bought the team. Like, they bought all the players. Like, you know what I mean? It's what you want your team to do, and they went out and they won the World Series.
That's what makes it feel like it's so far away as a Red Sox fan from being in that position again, because I have no belief that ownership's going to commit like the Blue Jays do, like the Mets do, like the Dodgers do, 24th ranked team in terms of percentage spent of revenue earned is a joke. And so this is a big offseason. And the reason is the big three have now ascended. The young talent's up. We found out we had even more talent, you know, Connelly early popping up, Toley popping up. There's young guys in the system ready to contribute. So now is when you would spend. This is the offseason. Here it is. And for those of us in the Red Sox fan base that have been holding out that John Henry will spend when the time is right, this is the offseason. I think you're all going to be wrong. I hope I'm the one wrong. I really do. I mean that 100%. But I think we're going to get some form of, here comes Cassis. He'll be back. He's going to be our first baseman. You know, a couple of relievers, arms here and there. Look at all the arms we're getting back. Tanner's coming back. Cutter Dobbins. Crawford's coming back. Dobbins is coming back, who was really having a good season until he got hurt. Now look at all our pitching depth. And they'll move some guys around, again, be out of position, and it's going to be extremely frustrating. If I'm wrong, this is the year John Henry spends. This is the year. You may not see 6 and 7 year deals, but you could see a 3-year deal to go get Schwarber, a 3-year deal to go get Pete Alonso. You could see the trade for Joe Ryan and then an extension. You know, that's reasonable, 4 or 5 years, you know. But I think by the time this team reports in late February, you'll know if the team, and when I mean the team, the roster, front office, and ownership are trying to be what we just watched this last week or so.
Definitely one of the biggest off seasons in a long time.
Jeremy and I talked about this already once before, but it's, you got the money. Go out, get Schwarber. You have the money. Go get Alonso. You have the money. Go get Dylan Cease or trade for Joe Ryan. Go get another reliever. There's going to be plenty available via trade or free agents. We talked about this. Okay. Would you rather, you know, do you add the proven talent, Jeremy? Would you get rid of the rookies, Jeremy? Jeremy wanted to get rid of Connelly early. I said, no. And he would do it. And fair play.
Well, maybe hold it's on. Great answer. Just so we're clear, it's for Joe Ryan, and you then back away Joe Ryan. From wanting Jets. Yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
You'd still keep Connelly early?
You know, it's a different day. It's the same answer. I still like Connelly early. I don't know why. I know.
I'd trade him for Joe Ryan.
It's crazy. I don't mind holding nobody's hand for that one. You know what? Wild behavior wins World Series, too. And unfortunately, we're not going to get there.
No, it gets you a player that isn't what he was in a very short stint. And then you look back and say, Joe Ryan added 4 or 5 very good years, 3.5 ERA. And we should have had that player. And we should never put overvalue a prospect versus a guy with big league tenure that has proven year in and year out that he's a consistent, proven player. But that's my opinion.
Let me ask you guys a question. Let me guys ask you this. What would you rather have? Would you rather have Joe Ryan and Dylan Cease and one power hitter, whether it be Alonso or Schwarber? Would you rather have Alonso and Schwarber and take your pick, Joe Ryan or Dylan Cease? Doesn't matter. One of them comes to Boston.
Joe Ryan, because Dylan Cease is a free agent. And he's going to get overpaid. I also think Joe Ryan's a better pitcher, just more consistent.
We're aligned.
For me, it's clearly Schwarber, and it's not that it's because he's here from here. It's because he's played. Some people may forget this. I don't know, but he was acquired. I think it was 2018. No, that's too far back.
No. It was 2021.
What? When he played with us? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So 21, he was acquired, and he was acquired actually hurt, which is one of the reasons why we got him, because it took less assets to get a hurt player. He got healthy and had a really good second half of the year. He showed he can play in Boston. If you can play in Philly, you can play in Boston, by the way. So to me, Schwarber's the guy, you know, high on base, you know, could hit you 45 home runs, stays healthy. Nothing against Pete Alonso, also I wouldn't be upset with either. But to answer your question directly, Joe Ryan, Kyle Schwarber for me.
but you have a choice. Two hitters, one pitcher, or two pitchers, one hitter. You got the money.
Well,
go and spend the money.
The Dodgers have shown that there shouldn't be limitations like that when you have the sort of assets that the Red Sox have. You have a very wealthy owner. You have a product that creates a ton of revenue. I don't think that should be there shouldn't be a limitation if you're trying to win. Not win in 162. I mean, win in November and hold a World Series trophy. So I don't think there should be any limitation like that on this team. And ownership should, I think, if they want to win, okay, whatever the budget's got to be to do it. With that said, I'd go two hitters and one pitcher because this team has 8 to 10 legitimate, you know, not all top of the rotation, but I mean, you have so much organizational depth in starting pitching right now. It's really going to force your hand. A couple of these guys, some of these guys are going to have to pitch out of the bullpen to be in the bigs. There's just no way and you're going to need 7, 8, 9 guys across the whole season, but you can't be sending some of these guys to Worcester. Some of these guys are going to have to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. We need power in the lineup.
One top end guy, Joe Ryan, rounds out the pitching.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, totally power arm to the bullpen. You know, that helps that spot. You have plenty of starting pitching. You need to score runs. You know, when this team had issues, you know, because Bayo, Giolito, and Crochet were so good for so long, pitching wasn't the issue.
Right.
When Roman Anthony went out and we already weren't hitting home runs. And by the way, for those of you that are like Bregman's leaving, and I want Bregman. I just, you know, it's not going to happen. But he only had, I think, 18 home runs. It wasn't like we lost a 40 home run hitter. I mean, we don't have guys that hit the ball out of the ballpark with any consistency since Devers was traded. So, I mean, there's got to be some sort of power, or you're essentially on offense a small ball team. You're hitting and running. You're bunting, and we already are super athletic and have a bunch of very good base runners that can steal your bags. But I mean, Toronto and the Dodgers can kind of do it all, and that includes hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah. Not having power in your lineup in Fenway Park it's dumb. It just hurts your team.
Yeah. Bregman's he's not going to hit you 30 home runs, and he's not worth $40 million though. So I'm okay with him not being here, Jeremy. He's not worth $30 million. He's not worth $25 million. Played 110 games.
I think I'm potentially okay with him not being here either. But if it's Marcelo Meyer playing out of position at third because you don't want to go outside the organization to fill that spot, then I do have a problem with it.
That's
if
fair.
You tell me That's you're going to go fair. Trade for an everyday third baseman that plays plus defense, is a 20-80 guy, gets on base at a 340 clip. That's fine. Go save your money and get a comparable player. But if you're just not going to address the position, then that pisses me off.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I think if you're going to spend $40 million, you should spend $40 million on a player that's worth $40 million. And that's either Kyle Schwarber or Pete Alonso. Alex Bregman was never going to be worth $40 million. I appreciate the fact that he worked with the rookies. Don't get me wrong. And I've said that multiple times, that I was very appreciative that he decided to take them all under his wing. But you missed 50 games. You missed a third of the season. You're not going to miss a third of your paycheck. You're still getting the same $40 million. This isn't like football where, you know, it's non-negotiable or you can, you know, float the rest of the money if you want to sign Darrell Revis has signed like a 5-year $95 million deal or something like that, got 1 year and then was released after that. You can't do that in Major League Baseball. And you know what? Thank God he didn't opt into that contract, because if he opts in, do I think that Alex Bregman's going to have a bounce back year? Do I think that Bregman at age 32, who's already got hamstring and health problems, is going to hit 20 home runs or 75 RBIs? No, I don't think that. I think the only place that he's going to absolutely dominate and do really, really well again will be Houston again, if they want to go get him. Maybe Detroit has, you know, but I don't remember Detroit's left field being super friendly. So I don't know. I think he's going to be a 16 to 20 home run guy, maybe 65 to 75 RBIs if he can stay healthy. He could probably play 140 games next year and get you 20 home runs, maybe 75 RBIs, maybe. Dude, we already know what Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber can do. There's absolutely no reason why you don't get those guys. We have not had two crazy big nuts bats in your lineup since David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. People can say whatever they want, but fact of the matter is they're not there right now. Trevor Story is an incredible role player. I would never say that Trevor Story is a a power hitter. You know, like that's just, he's a really good hitter and your team is better because he's there. And fact of the matter is, if Trevor Story's not here, you're not going to the postseason. That's facts. Whether or not Bregman was here, I don't think it really would have made too much of a difference. Story only missed a couple games all year. Like, you saw what Trevor Story could do when he's almost 100% healthy the whole season. You need power. I get two hitters and I get one pitcher. Honestly, if it, I would settle for Cease if I couldn't get Joe Ryan for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Dude, you have Schwarber. Go overpay to get him. Anybody who thinks that Tristan Casas is an answer is just not. They're either new to the game, they don't know the Boston Red Sox, or they just, I don't know, want to be controversial. But Tristan Casas in this lineup does not make the Boston Red Sox a deeper, deadlier team. If anything, it's okay, cool. We can walk the guy before Casas because that's two bases. It's like Alejandro Kirk from the left side.
Yeah.
Except taller.
Well, my final prediction is they do go get Joe Ryan. And they are not going to be competitive for any other big name bat. And they will shuffle the current roster around and sell it as the most complete roster they can be. But the truth is, and I think we all know this, that if they spent, they can be a more complete roster than the limitation of just going to get a Joe Ryan.
Anything else you want to add, Dougie?
No, I agree with Jeremy.
You have
great,
to get a
great. It was a great World Series.
Yeah.
It was a great playoffs. Great World Series, all-timer. It was fun. Last night was fun.
Pitchers and catchers report in 4.5 months. Let's go.
All right.
Yeah, seriously. you have to get a hit. You have to get a hitter. You have to get a pitcher. I don't care what you have to do. You got to replace power with power, or you have to replace that money and allocate it somewhere else. You never replaced Evers. You're not replacing Bregman. You have to get a power hitter, and you have to get another pitcher. That is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Everyone have a great one. Take care.